you happy with your present life? Why not be born again by repenting of your sins and giving your heart to the Lord Jesus? He loves you more than words can express. Jesus says this about His Heavenly Father, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." The title of this message is, "Why Are You Running from God?" Why are you running from God? Don't ever forget, you can run from God, but you cannot hide. He's everywhere, and He's always seeking spiritually lost people to draw them to Himself. Today, you've been running from God for a long time, and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about your life. Today is your date with destiny. Today is the day for you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop your running today and give your life to Him at the close of this message as I lead you to pray, to repent of your sins and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith. Why are you running from God? You can run from God, but you cannot hide. Our text for this message is found in Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139, David states, "O Lord, You've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from You, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to You. For You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they all were written in the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with You. Oh, that You would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, You bloodthirsty men, for they speak against You wickedly. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate You? Do I not love those who rise up against You? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God," David states, "and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Would you pray with me? Father, in Christ's name, we praise Your holy name, that before the foundation of the world, You knew that we'd be here today. Father, I'm aware of the assignment that is before me. Lord, empty me of myself and fill me with nothing but Your powerful Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in Your sight. Father, may not one word leave my tongue, but that it does not first come from Thee to me. Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Why are you running from God today? You can run from God, but you cannot hide. And in God's holy word, the Bible, Luke chapter 15, we read the story of a young man who decided that he was ready to spread his wings and fly away from home. He was the younger of two sons. Sometimes the younger child feels that he or she has something to prove because they've always walked in the footsteps of an older sibling, and they get frustrated and tired of it. They go to school and the teachers call them by their brother or sister's name. They go to the athletic field and the coaches say, "Well, now your brother wouldn't do it that way. Your sister had a little bit better form than you do." They go to the local church and all the people tell them just how much they resemble their big brother or their big sister. Unfortunately, sometimes even mom and dad even compare them to their older brother or sister. A child in this type of situation rebels and breaks the mold to make a name for themselves. And many times, this child goes too far in the process of making a name for themselves, and they destroy their name and their reputation. These people are known as prodigals, people who spend lavishly and foolishly. The young man in the story in Luke chapter 15 did this very thing. And he's known as the prodigal son. He was quite simply sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he felt the best way to cope with the problems of his life was to leave home. Is this you today? Where are you today? Why are you running from God? You can run from God, but you cannot hide. Remember this, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Running from your problems does not solve them. We think we know what is best for us when we really do not. The prodigal son convinced his dad to give him his inheritance before it was time, and the father agreed to it. And the Bible tells us that the younger son wasted it all on riotous living as he went to a far country, and he just simply blew away his share of the estate. And while he was running and partying, he enjoyed himself with wine, women, and song. The Bible tells us, yes, he spent all that he had, but God knew where he was, because you can run from God and you cannot hide. God knew right where he was, and God allowed a famine to take place right where this son was living. The Bible tells us that sin is passing pleasure. When we lose our way, we fall into sin. When we lose our focus, we forget who the way is. In John 14:6, Jesus tells us, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless he comes through me. Wild, loose living never does last. It has an ending, and sometimes that ending can be very, very tragic. I grew up in the 1970s, the age of drugs and sex and rock and roll. And a lot of people wrecked their lives in those years. I can remember a group of young people from a certain city would always go to a famous beach. And when they went this time, they were partying. They were having a good time. And one of the young men decided that he was going to jump off the balcony. His room was right there on that balcony. He decided he was going to jump off that balcony into the swimming pool. And he was very, very drunk. He missed that swimming pool. And he was paralyzed for the rest of his life. Wild, loose living never does last. It has an ending, and sometimes that ending is very, very tragic. In the case of the prodigal son, God wanted to give him another chance. He didn't lose his life, but God drew him to himself so that he would repent of his sins. Repent means to change your mind about your sins, ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, and turn from your sins. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent and be converted, that your sins will be blotted out when the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. I don't understand everything that I would like to understand about spiritual transformation, because it is a work of Almighty God in the depths of the human heart and soul. I just know that when a fallen, sinful human being hits their knees and repents and asks Christ to forgive them, He cleanses you and He forgives you just as if you had never, ever sinned. Why are you running from God? You can run from God, but you cannot hide. In just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity that may never come again, an opportunity to stop running from God. Today, He is drawing you with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to His Son, Jesus Christ. And today, I want you to pray with me to repent and turn from your sins and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith. Eternity is way too long to be wrong. Don't put this decision off any longer today. The Bible tells us that the prodigal son began to starve. God let that famine hit that land. He began to starve, and he went to work for a farmer, feeding the farmer's pigs. And he was so hungry, the Bible tells us that he nearly ate the rubbish that he was feeding to the pigs. And it was at this point in his life that he came to his senses and he said to himself, my father's hired hands have more than enough to eat, and here I am dying of hunger. It is at this point in our lives when God can teach us our greatest life lessons. Ian Walker, a great servant of Christ, said this And I quote, "Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Man's extremity is God's opportunity." End of quote. When we've come to the end of our rope, then God can do His greatest work in our lives. You can run from God, but you cannot ever, ever, ever hide. In our text for today in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, David states, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." God holds out for us so that we will come to our senses and repent and turn from our sins. Why are you running from God today? You can run from God, but you cannot hide. You're not only running from your heavenly Father, but you're running from your earthly Father, just as a prodigal son did. And you're overwhelmed by the problems of your life. You don't know what is wrong in your life, but you know that God is speaking to you. God, through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, is convicting you of the sin that's in your heart, of the sin that's in your life. And you know, you've come to realize just this very hour, this very moment in time, that you've never really and truly been born again. That means to be born from above. You know that if you died right now, you would live for all eternity in the awful, dreadful place called hell. John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious leader, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is heaven. Have you been born again? Do you know without a doubt that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Listen very carefully. Listen very closely. And I'm going to tell you how to be born again. You can have the assurance and the peace in your heart that you're going to go to heaven when you die. First of all, you must realize that you're a sinner. You must realize that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." Adam and Eve, the first man and woman who were created by God, sinned and disobeyed God. They were perfect and they were in perfection in paradise in the Garden of Eden. And God told them what they could and could not do. And they disobeyed God. And they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they did that, sin came into their lives. Sin came into the world. We are descendants of Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman. We have inherited their sin nature. We're not born Christians, we're born sinners. And then secondly today, your penalty for sin is death. Your penalty for sin is death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our payment for sin that we refuse to repent and turn from is death. And that word death is translated eternal separation from God and man in the place called hell. For the wages of sin is death. But praise God today, there's an exception to that law of the harvest. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift from God is eternal life. Salvation is a free gift from God. Why? Jesus paid your penalty for your sin and my sin and the sins of the world, for all mankind, past, present, and future. He took your sin. He took my sin on Himself on the cross at Calvary. He was God in the flesh, God incarnate. He could not sin because He was perfect, and His blood is pure and sinless. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8-9, "But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And then to be born again, you must repent. You must repent of your sins. Repent means to change your mind about your sins, ask Christ to forgive you for your sins, and to turn from your sins. The Bible tells us in Acts 3:19, "Repent and be converted, that your sins will be blotted out when the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord." And then to be born again, fourthly, fifthly, you must accept Christ by faith. You must accept Christ by faith. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace is God's love for you and for me that we do not deserve. And because of His love for you and for me that we do not deserve in our faith in Him, we can be saved. You can't save yourself. I can't save you. Only Jesus can save you today. And then sixthly, to be born again, you must confess Jesus as Lord. You must confess Jesus as Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you can be saved. For with your heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that biblical and historical fact, you can be born again. You can be saved. You can be transformed by the power of God today. You can allow Christ to make a complete change in your life today. And then to be born again, seventhly, you must know that anyone can be born again. Anyone can be saved. Anyone can be transformed by the power of God. Anyone can be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do is to call on Jesus today and He will save you. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call on Jesus today? Why are you running from God? You can run from God, but you can never, ever hide. He's waiting on you today. He loves you with His loving arms open wide. You have an opportunity to accept Him and to repent of your sins today. You're listening to this broadcast today. You're watching this broadcast today. But as a child of God, you're living like the hell that God delivered you from. Today, you have a great opportunity as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to recommit your life to Him. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've yet to see Christ reject anyone. I've yet to see Christ turn His back on anyone. He loves you today. He cares about you today. And He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. Today is your date with destiny. Today is the day for you to give your life to Him. Don't put this decision off any longer. Eternity is way too long to be wrong. When I go to heaven one day very soon, I want to see you there. Why are you running from God? You can run from God, but you cannot hide. Yes, praise God, the prodigal son realized the error of his way. And he made a life-changing decision. He decided to repent to God, and then he decided to go back home and ask his daddy to forgive him. And you know what? When he made that decision, that's exactly what he did. The only love that even comes close to God's love is the love of a parent for their child. The prodigal son's daddy had been watching for him to come home. He knew God was going to bring him home to him. And the Bible tells us that one day he looked out and he saw his son coming home in a distance. He could see his son in the distance coming home. And he literally ran out to his son and he hugged him and he kissed him. In New Testament times, it was considered to be very undignified, very inappropriate to run. But the prodigal son's daddy struck down all the norms, all the protocol for people of his day, and he literally pulled his robe up and ran as fast as he could to his son, and he grabbed him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him. It didn't matter to him. Can't you just see that scene today? He knew that boy was going to come back home, and that boy looked at his daddy, and he said, Dad, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. This is true repentance. True repentance sees you turning from sin to righteousness. And it is the only way that we as people can have fellowship with God and man. You first make your peace with God, and then you make your peace with your fellow man. Before the son could utter another word after he asked for his daddy's forgiveness, his daddy looked at his servants and he said, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on my boy. get a ring for his finger and some shoes. He was so poor he didn't have any shoes. He said, get that calf out of the fattening pen. We're going to have a feast. My son was dead and he is alive. He was lost and he has been found. All the religious leaders of Jesus' day could never understand why Jesus associated with sinners. And Jesus said this, and I quote, I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. He said, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. End of quote. And so it is with us. God ever delights when his followers are restored to fellowship with him. A beautiful verse that we talk about when people come home to Jesus is so fitting in this story, and it's found in the same chapter in Luke chapter 15 in God's holy word, the Bible, as the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15 verse 10, Jesus states, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You think about that. Every time one sinner repents of their sins and gives their heart to Christ, every time a child of God who has become wayward and fallen into sin, every time they repent and recommit their life to Christ, all of heaven stops and rejoices. The angels of God in heaven rejoice over Christians and over people who've just become Christians when they get right with the Lord. Now that is what it's all about. When you make a change God's way, all of heaven rejoices. The old timers here in the mountains of East Tennessee, where my family is called home for many generations, they call repentance making a change. The prodigal son's older brother was not happy about his brother's repentance and their daddy receiving him back into the family. He couldn't understand the forgiveness and the grace and the love and the mercy of God. But people can be restored to fellowship with God. This parable gives us a glimpse of the hallowed face of Almighty God. This parable shows us that God has allowed us the awesome freedom to determine our own eternal destiny. Because you see, the love of God is beyond justice. The love of God is beyond all reason. And just like the father in the story, God ever hungers for the return of a sinner. There was a young man many years ago who had an older brother. And for all of his life, he got compared to his older brother. He got compared on the athletic field. He got compared to his brother in the classroom. And he got compared to his brother at church. He really didn't like that. He didn't appreciate being compared to his older brother because he was his own person. He didn't quite measure up in a lot of areas. And he knew that, and he resented that. But God wanted him to know that he loved him as much as he loved his big brother. When this young man got into his teens, he began to drink and party. He became very successful, very young in life, in his own right. And he built a name for himself. And the tide turned. Everywhere his big brother went, people would call him his name rather than the name that he always had had. You see, he overcame all the adversities of his life and did something very great with his life. But yet, he forgot the God who had raised him up, the God who had helped him to overcome his challenges of his own journey through life. He began to drink and party, and he got away from the Lord. God allowed tragedy to come into his life, and it shook him up. He lost some people very close to him. One Sunday afternoon after church, after he'd had a great lunch at his mom's country table, While he and his dad were watching an athletic event, the Holy Spirit just literally sat down and moved upon him, and he rolled out of the couch where he was lying under deep conviction from the Holy Spirit, and he repented and he asked God to forgive him. And he got up and he looked at his daddy and he said, "Daddy, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. I've sinned against the way that you've raised us. I've been living too loosely. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I know that He has, and I want to ask you to forgive me." Not only did his heavenly Father forgive him, but his earthly Father forgave him also. And they hugged and they rejoiced right there in that living room. And then that night he went back to his home church. And when his pastor gave the public invitation, after he preached a great message, that young man came down that aisle and he said, "Pastor, I've come back home to Jesus today, and I've asked Him to forgive me, and I've asked my daddy to forgive me, and I want to come before my church tonight and ask them to forgive me." How does God feel about people who mess up? He loves them, and He loves us with a love that will not end and a love that will not let us go. Why are you running from God? You can run from God, but you cannot hide. Right there where you are right now, He has been speaking to you for some time now, and today's your date with destiny. Right there, I want you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, that's right, just between you and Him. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I know that you died on the cross for me. I repent. I turn from all my sins. Please forgive me. I now accept you as my Savior, and I follow you as my Lord. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me, I pray. I give to you, sweet Jesus, complete control of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Give me the peace that I have been saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You've been cleansed and forgiven for all of your sins. Your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, where it'll never be erased. God loves you, and He's welcomed you home to Him today. You be sure and get involved in a good, balanced, Bible-believing church in the community where you live, and ask your pastor to baptize you. That's your next step after you've been converted to faith in Jesus Christ. And you write to me today and let me know of your decision. I have some materials that I want to send to you. God bless you. I love you.